You're listening to Stone Church. Now join us for this week's message.
I want to talk to you this morning about spreading the word. You know, there is no greater power in our lives than the word of God. And when we stand on the word, when we consistently send the word into the lives of the lost through prayer, into situations in our lives, we see metamorphosis. We see change. Amen. You know, let me read the passage before I get going. And we'll get into that. Let me find my passage. What did I say? Isaiah. Amen. Having a little technical difficulty here. It's New Testament, right? Verse 7. You there? And let me just kind of give you a little heads up of this passage in context so we know what we're reading. This is part of a 6-part poem in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, called the Servant Song. It's about the suffering servant known as the Messiah who is going to come. Many believe that it might have been Hezekiah when Hezekiah showed up, but it was about the deliverer of Israel. And so he's talking about the institution of the word and how it's going to affect the earth in the time of the Messiah. We all know this passage. We're very familiar with this passage where God said, I will send my word. It will not return to me void. But we need to understand in the context or we lose the power of the passage. And so Isaiah is prophesying about this servant who's going to come and about the institution of his word in the earth and how it will bring metamorphosis and change when it is sent into the earth. Amen. So we on verse 7, he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Say, send the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, as believers in you who walk in covenant and alignment with you and your word and your salvation and your deliverance, God, we can stand in faith on the promises of your word. And in every situation through prayer, we can send your word. Father, through every situation where there is salvation or deliverance that is needed, we can send your word. And Father, not only send your word, but expect to see the result for which you have sent it, God. Father, awaken us and quicken us that we would become people who stand in faith in your word, Lord God, against the devil, against tragedy, against trial, against failure, against error, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For the heaven and earth will pass away, O God, but your word will stand forever. Father, we thank you. We love you. God, and minister to every heart. Bring encouragement and life, O God, by your word in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat. One thing you will find out about me quickly is that I love the word. And if it's not contained within the confines of Scripture, in my theology, it's not going to happen. God sent his word into the earth in the form of Christ. We'll talk about that in a minute to bring salvation. He has always sent His word to accomplish His word, His will. He spoke the worlds into existence, the Bible says. We understand that the worlds were created long ago by the word of God. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And we need to be a generation still. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, if you remember, it was all about the word. You couldn't walk into a church without seeing notebooks and highlighters. And I mean, it looked like a nerd convention. You know, people walking around with pocket protectors. And now we do it. You remember. Now we do it on our tablets and our iPhones. But we were people of the Word. We memorized the Word. We were in the Word. Amen? Because the Word is everything. And today, in the body of Christ, we have dumbed down the living Word of God to some little Bible study, some little, little devotion on the way out the door. And we are moving away from a people of faith who stand on the Word of God in every situation and continue to stand until we see the Word of God accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Amen? Like, He takes this thing pretty seriously. I'll tell you, I do. And so we need to send the Word into every situation until we see things come into compliance with His will. You know, even with our unsaved loved ones, you need to send the Word. When you're around them, you need to speak the Word to them and talk to them about salvation. And I don't know who this is for, but I feel like I need to kind of talk about this for a minute. You know, so many times we come into situations and we know people are in a place in their life where they should not be or they're not saved. And we want to see God do something. And we're very sheepish about speaking the word because we think we're going to offend them. And modern day theology and relational evangelism says, you know what? You have to cower to that. Don't share the word with them, until they're really ready to hear it. Listen to me. You need to sow that word because their reaction to it means absolutely nothing. It means nothing. Do you hear me? So if you have loved ones, speak the word to them, whether they want to hear it, whether they get mad, whether they get angry, because that word is going to bring them around. Amen? Listen, I remember the first person that witnessed to me. It was a young black man in New York City. I was at Joffrey Ballet. I was standing on the corner of 6th and 12th, waiting for a cab. And I was standing out there, and this raggedy-dressed young man who was at a teen challenge came up to me and started trying to witness to me about the Lord. And I got really ugly with them. I said, let me tell you something. I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God. And I believe people who believe there's a God are losers. And I think you're a loser. And I think the reason you need that is because you have nothing else in your life. But I have a plan and a goal for my life, right? Ugly. Say ugly. It was ugly. 16 years later, I was bowing at the altar of a teen challenge, sobbing. And repentance. And I remember that young man. And I thank God that instead of beating my face, which is what he probably wanted to do, he stood there and lovingly and patiently, and in spite of my objection, kept preaching the word to me and telling me one day I would bow my knee at the cross and one day I would confess that Jesus is Lord. And he kept just ignoring everything. I was trying to be all intellectual and debate with him, and he kept sowing the word, just sending the word into my heart. And I remembered him when I gave my heart to the Lord in March of 1999 and surrendered at an altar teen challenge. I remembered him. I said, Lord, I'll probably never see him in my life here, but when I get to heaven, I want to thank him for sending that word into my life because it brought transformation. Amen. God's word is productive in our lives only to the degree that we forsake our own ways. Now in this passage, he says in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Say forsake. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The first thing Isaiah began to prophesy is that in order to come to this suffering servant, in order to be able to receive forgiveness and repentance at salvation, the first thing we have to do is abandon our own ways. Repentance is the first stipulation to the kingdom of heaven. You can't have access to any promise or any blessing in the commonwealth of Israel until we bow our knee at the cross. And he foresaw this, and he said, forsake your way. And the Hebrew means azab, it means to literally forsake or to abandon. The tense in the Hebrew here is individual and future tense. In other words, Isaiah was speaking to individuals. Say, that's me. And he was saying, in order for the word to take effect in our lives and the covenant and the promises of God, the first thing that has to happen is that we have to forsake our ways. Amen? And it means we have to surrender everything, our thoughts, our motives. Because we cannot comprehend God's plan with our natural mind. And we understand that. And we've heard it preached. And yet we struggle with this constantly over and over again. The natural understanding is what causes us to move away from God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says, for after this, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We live in a day and age where information is everywhere. We could jump on Google. You can't even argue and lie about stuff anymore because your kids are in the back seat fact checking everything you're saying on Google. No, Dad, it's the hibiscus plant. Amen? Because back in the 80s, early 90s, no one was going to run home and pull out the encyclopedia just to prove you wrong. Amen? We live in a day and age where information is at our fingertips constantly. But the Bible says that it's by wisdom. Paul said that education, it makes us arrogant and puffed up. He said in Corinthians that by wisdom caused man to move away from God, carnal wisdom. But look what Isaiah says in verse 8. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher from the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What he was basically saying is, listen, you cannot even comprehend. My thoughts are divine and eternal. And for us to walk in the authority and the power of God's word, you have to abandon your carnal understanding and mind. You know, this is the biggest struggle when we look at sin. This is one of the biggest struggles we have. Well, why can't I do that? I want to do that. It makes me happy. When Madeline was really little, I don't know, 3 or 4 years old, she was having an argument with my wife, a very calm argument. But she was sitting in her high chair at the kitchen table. And my wife was saying, honey, I don't want you to do that. And very calmly and very matter-of-factly, she kept saying to my wife, but Mom, I want to do that. I thought, oh, here we go. And my wife said, honey, you can't do that. And Madeline said, but I want to do what I want to do. I started praying. God help us with this one. She said, well, you can't do what you want to do. You have to do what Mommy and Daddy want you to do. And she said, but I don't want to do what Mommy and Daddy want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. I was like, well, I was praying in tongues by that point. He said, abandon your thoughts and your ways. In the Hebrew, the word is makhashaba. It means a devised plan, devised intention, invented plans, purposes, curious paths, schemes. In other words, what God was saying is you have to begin to abandon your design plans, your curious schemes, and replace them with God and trust Him. There's so many times God is going to lead you in His Word or speak His Word over you, and it's hard to stand up underneath some of the things God has called us to stand up under. Amen? But we have to trust Him and allow Him to do what He's going to do. You know, so many times we look at God, and we look at His Word, and we think we can't attain to that. And we try to understand why He wants us to do that, instead of obeying His Word and doing what He's called us to do. And the more we try to understand, the more we expect that we're going to be able to understand. We expect that we're going to understand God's plan for our life, the more discouraged we become because God's plan is beyond us. You know, when I was at Cleveland Ballet and my life was an absolute disaster, I lost everything. I was in the streets. I lost a beautiful career. I was homeless. I was a crack addict and I was in the streets. And then God began to open up doors, and the first door was Teen Challenge, and there was no way in God's green earth I was going to walk through that door. And I called Teen Challenge. I talked to a guy named Jeff Mick. And my pastor, Jim Mashburn, was trying to get me to go to Teen Challenge. And I'm like, was it like a 90-day rehab? He's like, no, it's a year. I said, no way. I'm not going anywhere for a year. I've got plans. He's like, well, enjoy the streets. And I call him back. And I talk to this, I talk to the intake director. His name was Jeff Mick. And I'm arguing with him about this program. I said, what, can I just come for 30 days? No, you can't come for 30 days. The plan is 12 months. You've got to come for a year. You have to leave everything and you have to come for a year and God will meet you here and change your life. I'm not coming for a year. I'll come for 6 months. It doesn't work like that, Adrian. You've got to come according to the plan. There's a plan here and it will work if you allow it to work in your life. I said, well, do you have women there? I figure at least, you know, give myself some options. Are there women there? Yeah, there are women, but you're not allowed to talk to them. In fact, you're not even allowed to look at them. I said, that's ridiculous. You don't have dances or socials. You don't have anything going on over there. Adrian, this is a ministry. You're coming here to get sanctified and surrender your life to Christ. There's a plan. Say a plan. But I didn't want to submit to that. And then finally I did. And I walked through the door. And I never felt more humiliated or more broken or more lost. My family wouldn't talk to me. My friends thought I was an absolute total loser. They're traveling all over the world. They're on tour. They're working with famous people, doing tremendous things. And here I am like a loser in a teen challenge because I'm a crack addict. But listen to me. When you humble yourself and you come into alignment with God's word and God's plan, God begins to kick mountains down and open doors that no man will ever open in your life. Amen? God's got a plan. But you have to abandon your own understanding, your own curious ways, your devised paths, Isaiah said, and allow Him to work in your life. Amen? Romans says this, that the natural mind, the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject, say does not. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. You cannot, when Jesus even told us, listen to this, when Jesus told us about giving, He said, don't negotiate with yourself. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand, or your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, what He was saying is be obedient to God, tithe and give, and do not even negotiate with yourself. In terms of your obedience, just do it. Say, just do it. And what Romans is saying is there's no negotiation with the natural mind. The carnal mind is at war with God. It will always be war with God. My friend Chuck Thomas used to put his arm around my shoulder and say, Brother Adrian, the natural mind is at war with God. It will never be subject to the law of God. That's why God told us to crucify the flesh instead of leaving him on the basement on life support. Right? Because some of us, just in case, we want to pull that old man out and do what we want to do. But listen to me. Your carnal mind is always going to be at war with God. And the only thing we can do to assure victory in every area of our life is to trust God's word and obey. Amen? Because when we abandon our thoughts, our ways, our curious schemes, God is released to do what He wants to do. And God's word produces God's life wherever it is sent. Look at verse 10 here. God's life. Verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be. The prophet saying God's word, like rain, is a source of life. He said it has to come down and it has to linger. It has to run its course. The word he uses here is an interesting word. Because it doesn't just mean to water. It's a Hebrew word, ravah. It literally means to be drunk or to be intoxicated or to drench or to saturate. In other words, what he was saying is the Word of God when it comes and as it lingers and as it saturates and as it begins to bring the situation that it's pointed at under the influence. Amen? I've been pulled over a few times back in the day under the influence. Amen? There was no hiding it or lying it. And what he's saying, that's the word he's using here, drunk, to be drenched, to be saturated, to be intoxicated. And he's saying when the Word of God comes into the earth, talking about the Messiah, he said it's going to so saturate the earth. It's going to saturate the purpose of God that it's going to intoxicate it and influence it. And he's going to influence it because the origin of that word is eternal and divine life. And so as that eternal and divine life comes into the earth and comes into our lives, it brings life and change. It softens the human heart. Every circumstance is softened and brought under the influence of God. It's refreshed and influenced, rendered productive and prolific and changed. Say metamorphosis. It brings metamorphosis. When water comes into the earth, look at what happens in areas that are full of drought. Nothing can grow, but when water comes in and it saturates a plush green area, there's food. Food produces a life and brings people and communities and cities and plants and clothing and shoes. Amen for shoes. Do you hear me? It's the source of God. And because the origin of God's word is divine and prolific and eternal, everything that it's sent to and saturates, it becomes under the influence of God's word. You know, we back off too soon when it comes to praying and proclaiming the Word of God over situations. Well, God's going to do what He's going to do, but that's not the model we have in the Word of God. We see men and women of God who have stood on the Word of God and proclaimed the Word of God and send the Word of God into every situation until it begins to yield and change and come under the influence of Almighty God and His purpose for that situation. Amen. God's word is a creative power in every area of our lives. And we need to be people of the word and stand on his word. In fact, there's a fascinating passage in Exodus chapter 8 where Moses is talking to Pharaoh. And he says to Pharaoh, we're going to go out and worship with God. And Pharaoh, they start negotiating about how long they're allowed to go out and worship and make sacrifice to the Lord. And in that passage, and some of the old translations, the Chaldean translation, a couple other, instead of saying Jehovah or Adonai or Yahweh, they use a phrase called Debar Yahweh. In other words, Moses told Pharaoh, I'm going out to fellowship. We're going into the wilderness to make sacrifice and fellowship with the Word of God, the God Word, Debar Yahweh. Because to the Jews, there was no separation of God and His Word and His character and His action. There was no separation, so they knew that when God spoke, there was action. They knew when God's Word was proclaimed that there was something that was going to happen. There was no separation. Because God's word is His character. It is His nature. It's not just a little Bible verse we use once in a while or try to memorize, you know, to make ourselves better Christians. It's endued with life from God and brings change and supernatural metamorphosis. And the Jews understood this. And so the connotation of that word, Debar Yahweh, in Hebrew theology was linked with simultaneous action. So when God spoke, it was an expression of His character and there was immediate action that happened. And so what the prophet was saying is that when the Word of God is spoken, it runs through the earth like a messenger. And it comes with the life endowed from God with divine power, ordered with God's divine commission. Like the water that is sent into the earth. Everywhere the water goes, it brings forth life and plants and vegetation. And it said that the Word of God will run through the earth with God's commission, with His purpose, into nature, into life, into our lives, to bring God's life Amen? And he said, it will not return to me void. Heard that and we know that. It will not return void. And so we stand on God's word. We continually send the word by faith, allowing God to bring change. Amen? Look at this. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for you have been born again, not of but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of God, the word of the Lord, endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Do you know when you introduce, if you are saved, listen to this, because we don't think about this a lot. God said, I've chosen the foolishness of the preaching of the word to save the lost. In other words, what he's saying is that the word of the Lord is proclaimed. Repent. Walk away from your life. Accept Jesus. Repent of your sins. You do that and there's a metamorphosis. You hear the word. It is preached. It is sown in your heart. You respond to it. And you are radically changed, and all of a sudden you're one of these Jesus freaks that none of your friends want to be around. Why? Because the Word of God was proclaimed, and in that Word of God is God's divine life and power. And when we respond to it, it releases that God life in us, because the origin of that Word is eternal and divine God. Amen? And so when we introduce the Word of God to any trial, any situation, any illness, the Word of God contains all of the attributes and power and authority of God. It's not just a Bible verse that might or might not work. It's not just some little suggestion that, oh, well, you know, I prayed that and maybe we'll see if it happens. Maybe something will happen. Maybe it won't. God promised that if you stand on His Word and His promises and proclaim His Word over your life, over your situation, over the lost, it will not return void. It will accomplish what it was sent out to accomplish. The problem is, we have so many teachers today become so practical. There's no supernatural understanding of God and His Word. Everything is so practical. How to do good in business, you know, how to relate to people, how to build community. That's not what the gospel was sent for. The gospel was sent to bring change and metamorphosis in the world and in the hearts of man that are lost and without Christ. Amen. There is power in it. Say power. You're making me work today. It's your fault you don't have a boat. So maybe if you prayed the word, told the Lord, I want a boat, you'd be on the boat with your friends. No, I'm kidding. Look at verse 11. Man, I just can't get away from that. That when you introduce the Word of God, you are introducing all of the attributes of God Almighty into every situation. In every situation. When you got born again, by the living Word of God because you responded to it. Because it contains the attributes of God. And when you responded to it and yielded to it, man, that's exciting. And when we pray it over situations and the lost and the broken, we should expect to see something happen in it. Amen. All right, I'll move on now. God's word is His will and can overwhelm any circumstance. Isaiah 11, he said, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, that will return. It will not return to me empty without a desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You know, the Bible throughout the entire Bible talks about the Word of God as God's messenger. Amen? It's His messenger. He says it several times. And so many times He sends His Word to deal with situations or people. In Psalm 107:20, look at the screen. He says, He sent His Word and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What's that mean? It means He spoke deliverance over them. And the minute Debar Yahweh spoke the word, there was instantaneous manifestation of it. Psalm 147, He sent out His command to the earth, and His word runs very swiftly. Meaning it has life from a divine origin, which is God. Isaiah 44:26, He says, confirming the word of His servant and performing the purpose of His messengers. It is I who says of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited. He's talking to a city, and of the cities of Judah, they shall be built. And I will raise her up, her ruins again. Verse 27, He says, it is I who says to the depths of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says, Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Listen, Cyrus was a Persian king. He never knew God. And yet God attributes the characteristics of a Messiah upon him. Why? Because he wanted to use him for his purpose to set Israel free from Babylon. So he said, I spoke over Cyrus and raised him up and allowed him to deliver my people. He said, I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and he will perform my desire. He declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, your foundation will be laid. Jeremiah 23:29, it is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. In other words, God says, when I speak, things happen. Inanimate things obey. Lakes and rivers obey me. Deserts obey me. Leaders obey me. My word is living and powerful and true. And in every situation, we need to stand, be absolutely obstinate and stubborn and declare the word of God until we see things begin to yield to His purpose and timing. Come on. The epitome of the word Jesus. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Debar Yahweh made flesh. The absolute epitome, the antithesis, the absolute peak of everything God could ever express towards man was embodied in Christ. Hebrews 1:1 says, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory, the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had, by purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty of on high. That word radiance, I was sharing with the seniors on Tuesday, we were talking about this. Radiance means an outshining. It means a bright light that is absolutely outshining. Jesus is the outshining, the glory, literally the glory of God to mankind. And it says, and He is the exact representation. The word used there in the Greek means a stamp or a die. It means when you make a die. So God made a die of Himself, and He poured Jesus into it, and then He released Him into the womb of Mary and into the earth, sinless and holy and all-powerful, anointed by the Spirit of God to do miracles among men. Why? Because God wanted us to know what happened when the Word of God is sent and released into the earth. And we stand here so beat up and bruised and so terrified of the world. Oh, little me, oh my gosh, all these horrible things are happening in the world. We have to run and hide. We have to be silent. You know what? Begin to stand up in boldness. Young people, stand up when they're teaching evolution or when they're teaching something that's in total opposition to our faith. Be bold and stand up and say, excuse me, teacher, I do not agree with that because the Word of God says this. Quit responding. Quit being so afraid of their reaction. Let them react. 2 years later, they'll be at this altar just like I was, weeping and sobbing because the Word of God will not return void. What happened to the church? We have become so afraid, so unbold. Everything in the world has come out of the closet. Everything. And the church is sheepishly, quietly, cowardly stepping back, afraid to address or say a word to anyone. Preach the word of God. Release it. Send it into the earth. It doesn't matter. You know, when you begin to farm and you're toiling, you know, you're toiling the ground and you're removing rocks, you don't sit there and have a conversation with it. Well, is it okay if I remove some rocks and maybe dig a hole here? Go through Massachusetts. Every highway is dynamited through rock. Send the word of God. Quit being afraid. Quit being so sad. Quit being so broken as though there's no resource at your fingertips to make a change in your life without Uncle Sam coming to the rescue or without that perfect job or without that perfect man or that perfect wall. If some of you ever get delivered of that. Do you hear what I'm saying? Stand on the word of God. Let him bring life, a life endued with him into your life. Jesus was the exact representation of God's perfect will, his heart towards you. Quit asking if God wants to heal you. Quit asking if God wants to deliver. Quit asking if God wants you to be happy or have peace. Quit asking if God's will and his intentions towards you are right and right acting. They are. They always have been. God transcended time and eternity. Sent his son into the womb of a virgin to be crucified for you. And we're still here arguing whether or not Jesus loves me. He loves you. He loves you. He passionately loves you. And has a purpose for your life that is so overwhelming that if you will just truly surrender to him and come into alignment with his word that's endowed with divine power of on high, you will see change happen in your life that you never thought you would see. Amen. Kind of excited, a little excited. We don't know, maybe. What's he talking about? Is this? I thought this was the Cubs game. Where am I? Stand with me. Now listen how the story ends. Because that's usually where everyone stops preaching. Isaiah 13. As a result of this word being released in the earth. He says, instead of the thorn bush and the cypress, instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come. Instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come. And it will be a memorial to the Lord. Say memorial. For an everlasting sign which shall not be cut off. We all know what thorns are. The nettle is a nasty plant that grows to about 6 feet. In Hebrew, they used to call it the stinging plant. Because if you got caught in it, it had a little bacteria on the end. And when it caught you, it stung you. He said, in place of the thorns and the nettle, when the word comes, I'm going to give you the cypress. Why was he using pictures like this? Because these were, they understood. The cypress was a mighty evergreen tree. It's what Noah built his ark out of. So an evergreen tree. It's a glossy plant with white, beautiful flowers on it. In fact, Queen Esther's Hebrew name is Hadassah, which means myrtle. In other words, God was saying this. When my word is released into the earth in the age of Messiah, I'm not going to bring with it thorns and nettle. I'm not going to bring with it pain and hardship and sorrow. I'm going to bring with it the evergreen plants that are constantly producing life. I'm going to bring the cypress. I'm going to bring the myrtle. I'm going to bring an aspect into your life that is going to so build you up and so grow and so be beautiful and always be fruitful in your life if you will yield to my word. Amen? Amen. If I got the worship team, please. So here's what I want to do this morning. I know it's a holiday and we want to get out and go do what we're going to do. I think it's going to rain. So thank you, Lord. Listen. We need to take moments like this so God can work. And the work may be birthed here. But then we go out and God continues to work. So here's what I want to do. If there are areas in your life, there's an area in your life and you would say, you know what, Pastor? I need God to move in this area. It might be relationship. It might be sickness. Come and stand on God's word. We're going to pray God's will over your life and allow Him to begin to move. But we need to have faith in this because listen to me. The word of God is no joke. There's no separation. It's not like me writing words down on a piece of paper and handing them to someone. There was no separation. There's no separation between God and His word. He didn't say, oh, I gave birth to some idea I had. He said, no. I sent my word into the earth. My word that was with me from the very beginning. And it became flesh and dwelt among men. That word is living and breathing. There's no separation from God's right acting character and His intentions towards you from that word. There's no separation. If there are things in your life that are not right and they're out of alignment and agreement with God's word, you need to make those things right. You hear me? You need to make those things right before the Lord. Bring them into alignment. Repent of them. Surrender them. Tell God you're sorry. Let Him have His way. And you will see that life released in you. You hear what I'm saying? If there are other areas in your life that you just feel like you've just hit a rock. Maybe it's in your job or your family or some other area. Come and proclaim the word of God over those things. That God will overcome. That He will speak into those situations and bring metamorphosis. Amen? If you need prayer for any of those areas, just come forward quickly so we can pray and just believe God with you. Just come right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise You. Father, we thank You that we are born again by the living and enduring Word of God, not with silver and gold, not with anything of this earth, but with the living and enduring Word of God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. It's just a simple act of faith. We just move because it makes us uncomfortable, and it just shows God, you know what, I'm really serious about this. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Let's raise your hands, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord God. If there's any area in our lives, Lord God, that we need to repent of, Father, we surrender right now. We ask that You forgive us and that You cleanse us. God, we know that Your love is always redemptive. We know that Your love is always holy and righteous and true. And You will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, Your word says that You dwell with the contrite of spirit and the broken. Father God, You dwell with us. And so, Father, we surrender to You in the name of Jesus. And Father, every situation represented at this altar and in this room, Lord God, Father, we send the word of Your promise into those areas in Jesus' name. God, for loved ones who don't know You, Lord God, that You would bring salvation, God. Father, for those that are sick in body, Father, we plead the blood of Christ, and we know that by Your stripes we are healed. It's not some writing on a napkin, Lord God. It is coming from the heart and the will and the mind of God, combined by Your actions in the name of Jesus. And so, God, we call healing right now in Jesus' name. Healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, emotional, psychological, Father, suicide, in Jesus' name, I bind it in Jesus' name and take authority over them. In the name of Jesus. Father, broken relationships, broken hearts, God, in Jesus' name. Father, old wounds. Now, can we be quiet for a minute? Can we just bow our heads for a minute? I feel very strongly about this right now. I feel like there's someone in here, and you have been walking. Can we have every head bowed and every eye closed? You have been walking around with a wound in your life that has so embittered you. It's like you're still there. It's like you're still there. You're in the same responsive mode. You're in the same mindset. And it has been a long time. God wants you to give that to Him right now. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every eye closed. If that's someone in this room, I want you to raise your hand quickly. Put it up. Put it down. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, I pray that you just minister to that situation, God. We lay it down. God, we release forgiveness, and we just lay it down in the name of Jesus. And Father, as a sign of you having removed that, I pray that they would begin to feel a joy and a hope for their future that they have never experienced since that moment. Father, whether they were forsaken, however that pain came, in the name of Jesus, Father, I just ask that you move in a tremendous way. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. And God, we just ask that you perform your word. Perform your word. Bring healing and deliverance. Bring life and joy everlasting. We thank you this morning. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Do you receive that this morning? Amen. Just give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen.